Okay, I guess I can live with this. I'm going to back it up just a little. In case the balcony can look over the banister up there. Amen. Oh, me Bibles, we're going to go different tonight. I've been kind of moving along a little bit occasionally in Proverbs, but the next chapter in Proverbs has to do with warning young men about girls, so I know they're not interested in that, so we're going to ask you to go to the book of Revelation tonight. They didn't grin too much over that. Revelation chapter 13, and pretty much the same subject I've been on, but I just felt like I need to maybe point out just a little bit here. Revelation chapter 13, we're going to just start in verse 5, kind of jump into it and maybe go, if I have time to get through verse 8 and still have time for the shower. Well, y'all don't have no sense of humor at all tonight. What is the matter with you, huh? All right, better wake up or I might go that long. Amen. Revelation 13, pick it up with me in verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Once you go back down to verse 6 a moment, he opened his mouth and blaspheming against God. Watch what he does to blaspheme his name, God's name, and his tabernacle, and then number 3, them that dwell in heaven. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight maybe a little bit about the program the Antichrist is going to, what he's going to do as he gets global control. And that appears to be moving pretty fast. I talked to you a while ago about the missionary having to fly all around the world to get here. The whole world is in a mess right now. Some of them, as much as we hate the lockdown, and rightfully so here in America, it's worse than some other nations. And what we are seeing is a big power grab because of it. Now, the Antichrist here is wanting to bring in his kingdom, and there's a struggle going on, and he seems to be gaining. He's going to come in with blasphemy, and what he's saying here, he's going to blaspheme, number one, the name of God or the person of God. Then he's going to blaspheme the place of God. That's the tabernacle where God dwells, and we translate that down to the church. And then number 3, he's going to blaspheme the people of God. Now, if you watch the news today, you see those 3 things are happening. Mockery of God is going on big time. Blaspheming his name. Blaspheming his tabernacle or his place. And nothing on earth represents the Lord anymore in the grace age, church age, than the church that Jesus loved and died for. And so that blasphemy is taking place. We're hurting now from some folks fussing about us staying open. I may say something about that later, but the truth is, in God's eyes, the church is so important, his son died for it. And I just can't let Caesar or anybody else tell me that God's got to take second place to that. I just don't believe so. The context here of these verses, of course, is the tribulation period. We believe, as we move into chapter 13, that the saved people making up the church is already gone, and God has been dealing with Israel, and many in Israel by this time are going to be martyred because the Antichrist is going to go against them. They'll be God's people in that time. And somebody says, why let the Jews go through all that suffering? It's going to take that for them to bring them to the Messiah to recognize Jesus. I won't get off on that too much. But the context here is the tribulation period. This man that we just read about, this big mouth speaking here, is the Antichrist. He's called a lot of names in the Bible. He's called the man of sin. In Daniel, he's called the little horn. He is called the Antichrist. More common in our terminology today as Christians, we refer to him as the Antichrist. And he's going to head up the world government. He's going to be in control for a while. And the amazing thing we just read in these verses is the whole world. The whole world for a while is going to be under his control. Worship him. That seems a little foreign to us, but we got to remember who we are. We're saved by grace. We know what the Bible says. So we think different than the lost world does. So what would seem strange to us is going to fit real good in the program that he's going to bring in. And the deception that he's going to bring in. What we're seeing now, with all the shutdown across the world and all that, is locally, and as I said, with the missionaries and others hurting in bad places. And what we're seeing is a lot of constitutional rights being totally ignored. Right. Taken, and I fear we won't get them back. We're blessed right here in our area. Number one, Florida has one of the better governors. He recognized he had no authority to tell the churches to shut down, so he didn't. And I'm proud of that. Also, even locally in our city, in our county, we're still blessed here. We're blessed that I believe God has protected us because there's been so very little, actually, of the coronavirus in our area. There's a few folks that already had something else, about to take them to heaven. If they were going there, about to take their life in the nursing homes, and that's where some of it has occurred, but still not much, not much. We saw that last Wednesday night when we heard the man talking about it. But we're blessed in this area. I had one of the county commissioners call me this week, John Hall, and I'm using his name by permission. I said, can I repeat what you said? He said, by all means. He said, I'd be glad to stand up anywhere and say what I'm saying to you. And he and I traded some scripture verses. He knows the Lord. And he called me up to thank me for my stand. County commissioner. And one of the good words he said is, he said, I believe the rest of the county commissioners are on the same page with us. And he gave me permission to say his name, so I'm saying it tonight. Here's one of the fears he had, what I just stated to you, losing our constitutional rights over this thing. He made a good statement. I thought he made a really good statement to me. One of the statements he said was, of course, we know the Bible is ordained of God. He said that. And he said, I believe the American Constitution was ordained of God. I hadn't really thought about it exactly that way, but I certainly believe God brought it about, don't you? Because, you see, the freedom we have comes from God's Word and knowing Jesus Christ. He said we'd know the truth, and the truth would set us free. And our forefathers knew that, and they wrote up those rights. Those rights are a burr under the saddle of the liberals. They'd like to get rid of those Bill of Rights, that First Amendment. No, so what's happening in a crisis time is they're trying to suspend them. And they are suspending them, just very much, very much like the Nazis did in World War II. And the trouble is, and the commissioner and I were talking about, it's going to be harder to get them back than it was to let go of them. That's the danger right now, really is. Now, I want to say we're blessed here with the governor. We're blessed here with good county commissioners and good city with reasonable sense here. I'm proud of that, but I hope you know the next election could change every bit of that. Could change it all, and it very likely might. They're using this crisis now. They're kicking the can down the road, hoping that they can get close enough to the election to let the liberals win. And the thing that's shocking to me, and I hope they're lying about it. I think maybe they are, but they're saying the polls, you know, show the president's going to lose. Well, trying to blame the virus on him. It's so stupid and so ridiculous. We can't hardly imagine that kind of thinking. But that's the gimmick. That's the trend. That's the fad. That's the tool that they're trying to use right now. So it could change. It could change. And if they can keep the crisis going. Now, sadly, and this is a sad part to me as I read it here in these verses, the whole world, the population, they believe the fake news. They accept that because they don't have anything else to measure it by. They're not saved. They don't know the Bible. And they just don't have anything else to measure it by. And the enemy is using the fear of death, health. He's using the fear of finances, both of these things right now. Just think about this just a little bit. I can imagine Satan just, as we used to say, dancing a jig. He's so happy because he's able to break the economy. And in so many ways, that hurts the cause of Christ. And it hurts the chances of a man that was advocating godly values winning the election again by breaking the economy. And then, at the same time, a double whammy, use the same thing against the arch enemy of the devil, and that's the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But there's a struggle there that intimates and tells you there's a warfare going on between the devil and God's house. It always has. And what we're seeing now is him getting some advantage that he hadn't had before. And I said, sadly, the population of the world, of America, and others seem to be going along with it. Now, as we read the last verses of chapter 13, which I did not read, but you are so familiar with them, this Antichrist comes in with a mark and a number and a name, and we know it adds up to 666, the last verses here of the chapter. He's going to put a mark in the right hand or in the foreheads. With all the talk about chips and everything else, we understand that. The VeriChip Corporation has been already doing this. There's a lot of folks already got them. Many of them are putting them right here in this little flabby piece of skin between your finger and your thumb right here. I guess that's where it don't hurt maybe quite as much. But easy to get to. That's already going on. But I'm not saying that is the final one. I'm not saying that's the mark. I'm saying the forerunner of it, the technology has been here now for a long, long time, and some folks are using it. Now, here's the point I want to make, though. You got to have that mark, that number, that chip, or whatever it is, to buy or sell. Now, in this crisis, it's been pretty hard to buy and sell. And now they're talking about shortages of the meat market and other stuff. I don't know. There's one squirrel in the tree at my house. I'm watching him real close. He's getting fatter every day. All right, I'm playing around with it. Could you imagine being reduced to the place you might start thinking about some stuff like that? For sure. Of course, this squirrel is a legitimate diet in some places. But at the same time, they know how to control the population. Do it with buying and selling. They do it with food. They do it with health. And they've got the puppet strings hooked to us. And that's what you have here. The number 666 and buying and selling. You can't buy or sell without it. Now, you've been hearing something in the news, and you've heard me say something about it. The population will agree to this number as a whole, or they lose their head at the chopping block of the Antichrist in the tribulation period. But also, they're talking in the news now about monitoring everybody. And you've heard me mention that. Now you say, how are they going to do that with that little cell phone you worship? Oh, yeah. I said to you before, you'd take the mark before you give up your phone. Do you know it could come down to that? You said, preacher, just like the joker. Oh, I'm not just exactly joking. I'm hypothetically talking a little bit about what could be. Yep. Now, I was reading, and you probably read this. I think it was in the newspapers. It was common stuff. How that I think Bill Gates is involved and some of the other real powerful, rich, powerful people of the world. But see, now we got the social distancing. We got the 6-foot thing. We got all. Now, so how do they know whether we're sitting too close or observing 6 foot? Well, is your cell phone in your pocket? Is it in your purse? Oh, yeah? That's what they're talking right now, is that, yes, they can monitor you. And they say it may be even happening in China now. Yeah? Know where you're at, where you went, what you bought, all of it, all of it. You say, well, I just won't carry one. You sure? Now, some of us can do that without missing it too bad. If you ever tried to call me on my cell phone, you know I won't miss it much. But there's some folks can't live without it. And that's sad, because it may be the tool that is used in those days. Now, if you're saved and we're right on the rapture, we'll get out of here before that. But maybe not much before it, because it's not all that far off. I don't know, but I know this. It is coming, because it's written in the book. It's going to come. And people are going to agree to be monitored. That phone is going to track you, or a chip is going to track you. They tell me now they got a chip. You don't even need the phone. You just talk to the chip. Yeah. Or if you go up to the cash register, you don't need your card. The chip reads it. And I mean, it's just all that stuff is right now usable. It's just not yet put on the whole population. But we see from this crisis thing we've been in how the whole population is going to be manipulated through a lot of fear and so forth. And we're going to come into an atmosphere. I think I've seen just a little taste of it, maybe in these last few weeks, of some people maybe turning on each other that is amazing. My wife told me the other day she was in the store and, you know, they got the 6-foot thing marked off. And I think they were going to let the older folks come in the first hour. So I have no idea what she was doing there the first hour. But anyway, I think it was the first hour shopping. And she said another lady in the line hollered at her and said, 6 foot. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Somebody else is going to police you, report you, fuss at you, write you up, tell on you. Oh, yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Boy, how quick it moved in on us, too. I've said that before. This atmosphere, though, of turning on each other. You know what Jesus said about that? And he was in the context of Matthew 24, tribulation period. He said that a man's enemies would be those of his own household. Kids turning in mom and dad, cousins, kinfolk. Oh, Lord, it sounds almost Twilight Zone, but it's close. It's closer than you think. Enemies of our own household. I fear we may even see some of it in our church. Some folks not liking it that we did stay open. I've already run into some of that. Even though we gave everybody the option, come or watch. But I was not going to be responsible for telling God I couldn't trust him to keep his house open. So I didn't. But we may have some of that. We may lose some over it. Or we might gain some too, because we've had some folks driving some pretty good distances to be with us on Sunday, and I praise the Lord for that. But did you ever think about this? Now, I don't want it to sound commercial. I don't want to sound that money plays that big a part in it. But I want you to think, we have a staff around here that works for the church. They buy their groceries because of the money they're paid for by working for the church. We have teachers. We have college teachers. We have radio staff. Just going down the line. We have maintenance. We have a lot of stuff around here. If all of a sudden we shut down and there was no offering each week, there'd be some families hurting. But by God's grace, we have stayed open, and God has kept the offering up average where it was. That's a miracle, folks. Because we do understand that it's much easier to give when the offering plate comes by than it is to take time to send it in the mail or do it some other way electronically. Some of you can handle that. But I didn't stay open because of that. I stayed open because I felt convicted before God otherwise. But I want you to say there was more at stake than a lot of folks think. You see, our governor said church was essential. But there's a pile of folks don't think it's essential. They think it's optional. And that's too bad, because I think God intended for it to be essential. It's essential to me. That's for sure. So I just want to encourage you. This fellow's coming. I'm reading these verses right here. His attack is going to be on God's name. It's going to be on God's name, or we call it the person of God. It's going to be on God's place, the tabernacle, or while the church is not the Old Testament tabernacle, the word tabernacle speaks about where we meet God and where God dwells with us. And so, yes, I think the Holy Spirit is in his assembly, in his church, and I think that we do harm if we don't trust God with that. Let him, his house be in number one spot. Now, also the people of God. So those three ways you attack God. You can attack him, blaspheme his name. That's what Antichrist does. You can attack his house, where we send out the missionaries and do the work of God. And you can attack, of course, his people. The Bible talks about Israel being the apple of God's eye, talking about them as God's people. Well, if that be true, it is certainly true with the people that Jesus died for on the cross and the church that he established. I want to say to you, be aware of what I've just said right out of the book here, what's going on. This is the program. This is the plan. This is what is beginning to shape up. And now, while we used to ask the question, and I've asked it in my own heart, how could this be written in the Bible? And when the time comes to take the mark, people will still take it. Yeah. Yeah. You ever had that thought? Yeah. Yeah. But now I think I see. I think I see how it's going to work. And that's scary. Now, it mentions the saints of God here, but I believe that's talking about tribulation saints. I believe that's the ones that's going to be won by the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in that period of time, the ones that are rebelling against the Antichrist and the ones that are being persecuted and even having their heads chopped off. It's clear there's some head chopping off going on. I picked up a little book by a preacher I know distantly, don't know him well, and I picked it up, and he's writing a little bit on this subject. And one of the things that he was saying there in the book, I don't think I totally agree with him on this, but I see where it could happen. He's talking about the Antichrist may come in through the Muslims because of the head chopping thing. See, that is their way. And they have been doing that quite a bit. So what he was saying was that if the Muslims were to come to power, and they are looking, by the way, I will say this, they are looking for their Mahdi. And that Mahdi is the same thing as the Jews' Messiah, and it's the same thing for us as our Savior. We're looking for the Savior. The Jews are looking for the Messiah, and the Muslims are looking for the Mahdi. He's supposed to show up. And according to their false doctrine, Jesus is going to come with him like a little boy serving him. Kind of ridiculous. When Jesus shows up, they're going to find out who the King of Kings is, who the Lord of Lords is. But in the meantime, he's making a pretty strong point that if they were to come to power in the tribulation period, that would be their method of those that disagreed with them. And while I see it as a slim chance, I think this fella has got bigger plans. I think he's gonna come in as always was predicted, as the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, Satan incarnate, as the Bible describes him. And he's going to come in, as I was teaching in Sunday school Sunday morning, pretending good. He's going to be the fake white horse of Revelation 6. He's going to come in voted in on a peace platform. And he's going to be the deceiver. And it used to boggle my mind how can he deceive the whole world? Now I think I know. I think he can. Especially you think of him this way. If believers in Christ were gone, if we were not here, he would have no opposition, very little opposition, very little. That alone would make a great big difference, wouldn't it? All right, I skipped Proverbs tonight because I knew these young men didn't want to hear nothing about the opposite sex or anything, and it was all in the text, and I thought I'd go to what I know they wanted to hear tonight. Amen. Let's stand. I love to be facetious once in a while. You do pick up on that, don't you? All right, choir practice. Brother Hector's giving me a thumbs up. Choir practice, getting ready for Sunday, Mother's Day. Let's do what we can to invite folks. Boy, it'd be a good time to try to get things a little bit back to normal, wouldn't it? Pray about it. I don't know if I was hearing on the radio or maybe the news over the radio about mothers and families couldn't be together on Mother's Day. Well, I don't think I'd carry it that far. I just believe I'd trust God to go ahead and honor Mother on that day, don't you? Amen. Well, Father, we pray you'd bless the choirs that get ready for Sunday. We pray that you'd bless, Father, the people to come back. And we pray for souls to be saved. We pray against the evil that's moved in with this virus and all the side effects that's hurting your people today. I pray against it. I just ask you'd give us a great day Sunday and pray that souls could be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.